Hi, this is Vugar Usizade, CEO of BitGet, the leading crypto exchange committed to decentralized future. You are tuned into the edge of NFT, which brings you news to help create an equitable, crypto-driven world. Keep listening.
Hey, Web3 Curious listeners, stay tuned for today's episode to learn how this company has grown to become the largest crypto copy trading platform and why providing proof of reserves align with the broader trend of increasing transparency on exchanges. And finally, why today's speaker may one day own the most beautiful and exclusive hotel in Dubai. Stay tuned and let's cue the intro.
Welcome to the Edge of NFT, the podcast that brings you the top 1% of Web3 today and what will stand the test of time. We explore the nuts and bolts of the business side and also the human element of how Web3 is changing the way we interact with the things we love. This podcast is for the dreamers, disruptors, and doers who are pumped about this ecosystem and driving where it goes next.
Welcome to the Edge of NFT, the podcast created by Jeff Kelly, Ethan Jenny, and Josh Krieger, featuring a variety of top-notch guests and other hosts like myself, Richard Carthon. It's another production of the Edge of Company, a quickly growing media ecosystem empowering the pioneers of Web3 tech and culture, and responsible for other groundbreaking endeavors like the Outer Edge LA Innovation Festival. Today's sponsor episode features Vugar Usizade, who is the Chief Operating Officer at BitGet. He's a marketing and communications expert with over 15 years of experience, previously served as CMO at Bain Crypto, but also held senior roles at Bain & Company, Sony, and other Fortune 500 companies like Carlsberg, Facebook, and Coca-Cola. Vugar holds degrees from Harvard University and the University of Oxford. BitGet is a leading crypto exchange founded in 2018 by a group of early blockchain adopters committed to a decentralized future. With a focus on security and user-friendly solutions, BitGet has grown to become the largest crypto copy trading platform, boasting 20 million registered users worldwide and daily trading volume of over 10 billion USDT. BitGet empowers the future of finance through efficient and secure digital transactions, inspired by its vision of an equitable crypto-driven world. Vugar, it's great to have you on today's show.
Hi, Richard. How are you? Thank you very much for having me here. I'm very, very excited.
Definitely. Good to have you here. Happy to dive into like all the amazing things that BitGet is doing. But before we dive into the tech, I want to learn a little bit about you first. Impressive background, obviously going to both Harvard and Oxford. There's a lot of different paths you could have went. And of course, you did go some of the traditional Web2 career-wise path, but you found your way into Web3. What sparked your curiosity or your passion into going down the road of Web3?
You know, it's today is a beautiful day, you know, all the green market and like a Bitcoin going up and up. But like my journey started like from a very different end, because in my opinion, usually because of the media and all the buzz, get rich quick, put $100, become a millionaire overnight kind of a story, it's always portrayed like a crypto and Web3, such a like a more of a like a LA of the industries or like a Vegas, I don't know, like this a big dream, things happen fast, but like it didn't happen for me like that. Back in 2017, I used to work for a scale up, and eventually I had a chance to exit. The company was getting acquired for $2.7 billion, and I had this like a choice whether, you know, I take the money and go do something else or do I stay. Most of my team members did stay, but I was like, okay, no, you know, I'm this young person, you know, I worked really hard. I wanted to touch the cash with my hand. When it's like on the paper, it doesn't feel, you know, that you really own them. And I took that money into my bank account, and eventually my bank called me and they were like, okay, like why did you get this transfer? And I had to submit all the paperwork. But eventually I realized that, you know, that money, when it sits in a bank, it kind of melts down with the inflation and all the things. I was like, okay, now I made money, I need to do something not to lose money. Like, instead of people coming to crypto to make money, I was like, okay, I came to crypto with my money. I joined a VC and I start investing to different ventures. And eventually, I also worked with the UAE government on the Web3 aspect, consulted really nice projects from Dubai. And I eventually end up in crypto. And you all know what happened, you know, in 2017 onwards. I can, if we consider it another like a bull market, we almost seeing like a two full cycles and kind of a half in there. And yes, it's been a roller coaster of learning. Did I earn a lot of money? Of course I didn't. Did I lose? Probably did. But yeah, I was like, the once I discovered like the technology, I became a believer in the technology, not that, you know, financial aspect of it, but actually what it can do for the humanity. And that's why I stuck around. Now it's like, it sounds a little bit short, but like today in 2014, since 2017, it's almost like a 7 years. It's a lot of time.
It's a ton of time. And it's really remarkable that, like, you know, you go through this acquisition, you now have all this liquid cash, and you're like, how do I make sure I don't lose this? And you're like, crypto, right? Like you said, like, most people have the opposite of like, I'm trying to make money. How do I go make it? Crypto. But coming in, you're seeing all the different ways now that you have been through 2.5 cycles and have seen the peaks and valleys and have learned a lot. I know there's lots of wisdom that you're able to take and then apply it into, you know, what you're now doing with BitGet. And so, like, you know, BitGet has become known for its copy trading platform and has amassed a ton of users. As someone with a ton of experience marketing both traditional and decentralized finance products, what do you think are some of those like key differences that appeal to the crypto investors versus like traditional investors, and like, how did then you use that to help grow that BitGet's user base?
I think like people who already know me, they're tired of this story, but I love telling it. Like, I got to know BitGet before even, you know, I start working. I never even considered working at BitGet, you know, but like the reason I joined BitGet as a, you know, user and made my account, because first thing first, I do believe that it's important to have your own keys and your assets, but also centralized exchanges, they're much safer. It's easier to transact. And as I mentioned, like, for me, not only making money, but being able to keep the money is important. To keep money, you have to move money, and you can't just do it in a, you know, cold wallet stored in your wardrobe. You really need to do something with the money, and exchanges come in handy. And while I was choosing my exchange, where I wanted to, you know, primarily kind of a reside and do things with my assets, I came across BitGet. I was doing extensive research, and what piqued my interest in BitGet was two distinct features that at that time no one else was offering. Today becoming like an industry standard, and also I believe BitGet introduced it before the FTX case and all the things out there. What are these two things? First is proof of reserves. It means at any given day, we can put our wallet address and we can check where our assets are sitting within the large pool of all the other assets. It's extremely, extremely important because it means the exchange does the whole assets you have. No one is moving anything away. And also with this proof of reserves, BitGet has more than 150% of all the assets. It means if at any given second we all, you know, 20 million users decide to take your assets away, there still will be money left. And I think it's very important to understand how the exchange promises us to make sure that they're safeguarding our assets and we can sleep well. Because most of the time with all these, you know, stories that, oh, someone invested $100 in random coin and it became, you know, they became millionaire on a paper, but probably they can't even liquidate it, they can't sell it, and all the other aspects that almost industry never talks about. But therefore, I believe it's very important to all the time have that proof of reserves in the place. And second, of course, it was about the user protection fund. BitGet has this amazing user protection fund. Now, I believe it's more than 400 million because of the BTC prices goes up. The fund is consists of like 6,500 Bitcoins, and price goes up, money kind of infinite money glitch, let's say. And also it consists of USDTs. There's no BGB or other like native tokens of the platform. Therefore, all the users can also have rest assured that if any hacking or any sort of like a incident that does not led by the users happen, the exchange will have enough money to refund and reimburse the end user. And I believe it's very important that, you know, we all need to take all the security measures all the time and make sure we do things right. But when things go wrong, there should be have some sort of, you know, safety net. And I believe that protection fund serves as a safety net. But it's very important to mention, after joining BitGet, I got to know that BitGet never had a hacking incident or any sort of the breach. which is very rare in the industry. We know that also like large exchanges or large games were like victims of scams and so on. But luckily BitGet never had, but God forbid, if something goes wrong, there is an alternative out there. And I think
there's like safety there. Actually, real quick, I want to stay there just for a second, just because you brought up two points that I think is very important. One is the transparency, right? Like being able to say, to see the proof of reserves. I mean, plenty of exchanges where that could have been extremely helpful, looking at like what happened over at Celsius, looking at what happened over at FTX, looking at a bunch of other places where things went wrong. Again, you led this conversation with the importance of protection, of making sure that things were secure. And the reason why this was appealing to you is because BitGet came out the gates with having that information. And I think that is a really big distinction as compared to some of the other exchanges out there that makes this unique. So sorry, I just wanted to really emphasize that.
Yeah, it is important. It's very important. And also in terms of transparency, it's not just like we are telling that, oh yeah, we have, I don't know, so much money in an exchange and we hold them. All these wallets are publicly available. Anyone can go check them on chain because you can't fake on-chain transactions, right? And also we have that you can go and check where exactly you have, I don't know, one USDT, one Bitcoin, one Ethereum or whatever asset, where does that money actually sit within the ecosystem, that you know where they are, even though you can't touch them by yourself because you don't have the keys and it's all because the speed of the transactions, but still, you know, the assets are there, they're legit, you can move them around and you can always be assured that they're safely and transparently within the ecosystem. And I believe it's still, there are so many players out there that lack that kind of a transparency, even though they might be bigger than us or they had a higher volumes. But still, I think like whenever choosing a centralized exchange, it's extremely, extremely important to make sure that users do their own research and always are alerted, because it's always better to be safe than sorry.
Oh, absolutely. And I kind of want to dig into that just a little bit more, because safety is so critical, especially people learning from lessons from the last bull cycle into this one. I think they're going to be way more hypocritical in making sure that they protect themselves. And BitGet is doing a lot to do that, from the Merkle tree proof to platform reserves, your reserve ratio that you do monthly that ensures user asset security. Can you kind of just like walk us through that just a little bit more? And I know you kind of touched on a little bit, but just all the other ways that BitGet is making sure to both be transparent, safe, and secure.
Also, it's very important to understand that as a BitGet, as an exchange, we work with custodians to hold that assets. It means even if like the team members, employees, we don't have an access to that assets. They are stored within the industry standards and we don't touch them. We don't even have an ability to touch them. And I think it's very important. It's very important that no one, even the, I don't know, like say CEO or a biggest investor or smallest employee, even if someone had that ill manner, they couldn't be able to act on it because of that security measures, and it's very tight and strict. But also, I think I want to kind of talk to our main stakeholders, the end users, because we always really, really care about the safety of the platform. But also, it's very important, and we are heavily investing to educate our users to make sure that they don't become a victim of scams and phishing, and they have the right security measures from two-factor authentifications to make sure that they have the unique passwords to their platforms, because at the end of the day, most of the users will use the social logins or email or mobile number, and they have to be very much in alert to make sure that they don't end up being a victim of phishing or different types of scams, or they make sure that they are sending to the right wallet, right chain, right end user. They know who they are transferring for. And all this education is kind of goes two way, because more educated the end user are, they will be coming and asking much wiser questions, and the industry will be evolving and evolving and evolving. And I believe that back, even though it wasn't so past or ancient incident, all these incidents were because most of the users were coming for a rush. Everyone wanted to jump on a train quickly. And when you have that much money and do this like a loud promotions, people tend to blindly trust. And we saw how that trust was breached. And therefore, I believe it's very important that key industry players like BitGet, large, our colleagues from different exchanges, we do everything in our power to make sure we are safe, secure, and transparent. And also we help end users to get more and more educated.
Absolutely. I want to stay on that a little bit longer too, because people are getting excited again. It's hard to ignore crypto with Bitcoin. You know, as of the time of this recording, new all-time highs above 73,000. Ethereum going back above 4,000. A market cap that is, you know, continuing to grow quicker and quicker towards 3 trillion. And so much so that, you know, interest that came in the last bull cycle that kind of went away through the bear is coming back again, right? So now people are looking for, okay, I want to do this, but I want to be safe. I don't want to be a victim of FTX. I don't want to be a victim of some of these other things that happen. And so, you know, what are some of the things that, like, for people that are listening to this, and I know you speak with a lot of your end user, but like, how does BitGet employ different strategies to make sure that crypto trading is more accessible and user friendly, especially towards these newcomers?
First and foremost, at BitGet, we really put our customer first, and it's not just a blah blah buzzword term, but actually we think about it. Therefore, one of the largest investments we did within that bear market cycle, when everyone was like, you know, holding on a cash, we went and we invested in the wallet called BitGet, BitKeep, and then we rebranded it to BitGet, because we wanted to offer decentralized a true Web3 wallet for our users, that if they want to hold their own assets and own keys, they can do it. And I do recommend people, whenever you have a long-term investment, you are not there to trade, definitely make sure you safeguard your assets. But once you want to trade and you are in a centralized exchange, for example, BitGet, then you need to look into different aspects or different strategies what you want to do. If you are dollar cost averaging the Bitcoin, definitely go ahead and do it. But if you want to do much riskier kind of a transactions, do your own research, look what you are investing into, what kind of project, who are you investing, and what kind of what is your risk appetite? What are you, you know, thinking, being comfortable to bet with, or if you're gonna lose all of them, would it hurt you or not? Therefore, I believe it's very important to make that smart decisions. When it comes to trading tools, what makes BitGet really industry leader is our copy trading capabilities. We are the first ever crypto platform to offer futures copy trading. And what copy trading means, it means if you are new in the industry or you're someone really busy, you want to trade, but you don't have capabilities to go and research projects, dive into different nitty-gritties of the industry and make that decision, you can go and copy the portfolio and trade of the particular successful professional traders out there. I love the tool personally. I use it a lot, but I also always, you know, take that copy and play it around. It's never one-click solution, and it shouldn't be, because every investment, we should be very agnostic what we want to achieve as that trade happens, transaction happens. Today, when we look at into like what's happening in our copy trading platform, we have more than, I think, 150,000 different traders that are available on a platform to be copied. Last year, we distribute more than $27 million worth profits from these trades to the end users. And I believe copy trading is one of the industry solutions that have a big future, with the bots and AI coming into play, being like a less emotional and more straightforward solution. And I really believe in the future. And also, I believe there's a huge opportunities for the spot market, spot copy trading, and things that can be done around that copy trading topic altogether. And it's very important to mention that last year we saw a huge trend of copy trading. Almost all big competitors of ours, they also start introducing, which also shows that we are in kind of a right direction when it comes to trade and buy and sell.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I know one of the things for people as they're first coming in, or even for, you know, there's a distinction between trading and investing. And I think a lot of people, when they're first coming into crypto, think that they are traders and they're really trying to invest. And so that's when things can get a little tricky. But having a tool like being able to copy trade and see some people who have some experience, who have had some success in being able to use some of their own strategies for the trading side of what someone wants to do can be super helpful. And you know, with any exchange, one of the things that's always going to be very important is the side of compliance. And, you know, how does BitGet go about balancing innovation with compliance to make sure that all of the offerings that you're doing are always secure and can continue to be transparent for your users?
Since I joined, I put like a three key directions for development in a couple of years coming for BitGet. Direction one is, of course, our expansion. We are looking into LATAM, CIS, and also Turkey as a key markets to expand, still hold our position in the markets that we are really strong, which is Southeast Asia, Europe. Second is becoming a true Web3 company and building that ecosystem of the products with investments and vision. And third, and I believe the most important pillar, is to become compliant, in as many places as possible and work directly. I closely work with a lot of authorities in interest markets to make sure that we are contributing to the development of the industry. As you already mentioned when you introduced me, I went to Harvard and I specialized in technology policy. I did my studies around the policy making. And I believe that kind of gives me additional edge to be able to work with the policymakers. One of the points that I want to always communicate whenever I'm at the conferences, I meet with the key stakeholders, whether they're like industry leaders or legislators, I always say, like, we have to go back and look into a Facebook Cambridge Analytica case. What happened? User data was traded, things happened, a very negative consequences. And after that, legislators came with a very harsh rules and very harsh limitations. Today, we all end up with that. Whenever you go on a new website on your mobile phone, half of the screen is blocked with something. You have to click, I accept. You don't know what you're accepting. It doesn't benefit end user. It became a very sad habit that we end up accepting things because it's always take it or leave it. And usually we're in a hurry, our attention span is small. And all this kind of a chain reaction didn't solve any problem. It just created the different variations. And I think we need to avoid that in crypto. To do that in crypto, I believe legislators should work with the actual end users who are developers, builders, and believers in this market and make legislations that, first of all, everyone can understand. Second of all, it should be easy to implement, because whenever things are really hard to implement, they don't work. And especially when you look into very complex business models like an exchanges, it's very hard to come up with that, you know, paper document that explains everything that it should be done. Because in my opinion, and in my humble opinion, today's exchange is kind of a stock market, on top a bank, on top a financial institution, on top a loan place, on top you can stake, and you can do so many things in a fraction of time and a very small cost within the modern blockchain technology and the platform that traditional financial solutions might not work, and they won't work. And when we looked at all this, in many countries, you have the financial court and entire legislation. People do learn like a financial and commercial law, and all these things you can't comprehend into like a kind of a one small document to come and regulate this such a huge industry. And most of the time, just legislators don't understand what's happening. And even blockchain and crypto, yes, it's complicated. Like whenever I watch this Congress depositions of the CEO of TikTok or Facebook or any other major platform, the questions that asked are so rudimentary, are so kind of out of touch with the technology, that we see how much the legislators are lagging behind to understand the technology. And therefore, I think we need to work with them, educate them, and maybe extend our helping hand to them to make sure that we are able all work together. Because at the end of the day, as a developers and builders and industry players, we do want and we do need to be transparent, to make sure that we do everything in a legal and compliant way. And therefore, working with the legislators is important. But also, sometimes we really, like when we talk about compliance and legislation, we think about all this like a big licensing and all that big, big topics that really take a lot of time and effort to do. But as BitGet, as an exchange ourselves, but I always talk to my colleagues from different exchanges, we all actively work with the local authorities on the scam cases and on the different aspects of the day-to-day compliance and making sure that we cooperate and coordinate with authorities to make sure that the industry is healthy, it's safe, transactions are compliant, no one is getting hurt at the end of the day. And I believe that I can't quote right now, but I believe that recent researches show that blockchain as an industry has lesser money laundry than the traditional financial systems because things being on chain and easily traceable.
You know, it's really awesome that you were able to go to so many different pieces of compliance and how this needs to continue to evolve, and also stretching out your hand across the aisle towards legislators who are passing these laws to help make crypto accessible, and also just done in a safe way that is going to allow for more mass adoption and allow for more people to come in and participate in, I think, one of the greatest financial opportunities that our generation has ever seen. But the only way that that happens is through compliance and through safety and through laws being passed and everything else. So I think you have a very positive outlook on that, and I'm happy to hear that. And I think it's another reason why BitGet will continue to have great opportunities for people to interact with this exchange and have it be done in a compliant way that they can feel as safe and secure. But I do want to shift over to something that I think is super cool that recently happened. So like, you recently did a Make It Count campaign with Lionel Messi. And I'm curious, like, what inspired that choice for Messi to be the face of your Make It Count campaign, and how did were you able to pull that off?
I always joke about it that, you know, crypto became so much in and out with the sports, especially football, that today when you think about, you know, the very famous games from the World Cup or any other like a big major football event, you always think about this like a two big players, and you can immediately think about, you know, two exchanges kind of come to the mind. The reason we decided to work with Messi, it was kind of a two-way communication, because the campaign was happening for almost 2 years now continuously, and we always wanted to work with the greats of all time, because Messi has this amazing personal story, personal success story, where how he just came to football and made sure that everything possible, but also he had this, you know, God's touch. He was like a gifted person, and that's why I believe he's the greatest of all time. But we definitely had some roadblockers on the way, because there was another competing exchange was also trying to get Messi's attention. They were bigger than us and richer than us, they had bigger budgets. And at some point, you know, we realized that it's kind of a, not always the high speeder should get the attention. And our team was very transparent. We went back to Messi and his team. We thought, okay, this is maximum we can offer to do this partnership, but also these other things that we can offer with our protection fund, with our transparency, with our ambition, we will make sure that you don't risk your name, because it's not only about who endorses who, but we believe why our energies match. We believe that how you can support us, but how we can also support you, and we make sure that our goals and ideas align. And of course, we at this point, it was kind of a last, you know, string of the hope we were holding into. And weeks passed by, and like with every day, you know, when you update your email and you don't see much, and like team was kind of a really sad, you know, that things might not happen. But eventually it did happen. That lucky email comes, and we've been working with Messi for 2 years now. And recent Make It Count campaign, like every time, even though I worked like almost 6 months with the entire team on the project, like every time I watch it, I have goosebumps, because I believe every action, you know, leads towards to bigger results that we do, and every small decision we make, every small action we do is eventually will impact or sometimes can snowball into the large consequences. And therefore we need to be like a super, super smart. And I always say, like, all these investments that we do, that they do matter, right? They, you have to make them count. If you today invest in a project without much researching because of the hype, and you are not on the computer when things go down or up, you don't exit on time, you end up being sad. Because how many times you all heard these stories that, oh, I should have sold X coin when they were there, I didn't do, and it's zero now. Or the other way around, every time market goes up, my family, friends, cousins, I don't know, ex-classmates, they call that, oh, like Bitcoin is, I don't know, X amount, what should I do? I remember like a last year in February when the Bitcoin was at 17, 18K, I literally was like begging everyone. I was like, put like $100, $200. And everyone's like, no, bubble burst, it's going down, it's never recovering. And the same people, they're texting me now. And I'm like, it's almost like a 3.5 times expensive. Like, really? Do you think it's a good time to buy now? Definitely, it's always good to like a dollar cost average, but you don't, I always tell people, like, don't come on the top of the market and be that greedy. And I also think you touched an amazing topic regarding like being a trader and being an investor. And I think people all the time kind of mix that. And in my opinion, sometimes when you go out, you know, you want to have fun. And if you are not having fun, you shouldn't go out. Therefore, I believe if someone is within the industry, they have some coins, they definitely will be keen to trade. But it should always be within that strategic decision making, that what is I'm investing in, what's my long-term plan, and how I want to play around.
And now for a quick word from our sponsor before we dive into the next segment. Are you ready to take your sports predictions to the next level? Look no further than maincard.io, the fantasy management platform that's taking the blockchain world by storm. With Maincard, every card is a ticket to excitement. You can predict sport outcomes, trade cards in the marketplace, and challenge opponents in thrilling weekly duels. And don't wait. Head to maincard.io now and start earning rewards with your NFTs, because it pays to be early. And now back to today's episode. So a few things to unpack. Again, congrats on Messi. I know a ton of energy and time and effort went into making that happen, but I'm sure clearly it was worth it, and have still a great partnership going, and to make it count, like, immediately can see like great branding with that, and can see how, you know, people can get on board with that. And then just kind of just quickly touching on, and of course, everyone listening, not financial advice, like just looking at like what happened a year ago, like you said, when we were close to the bottom of the market, Bitcoin was, you know, below 20,000, all this other kind of stuff. The same, we've been in this space for a while now. I've been in the space since 2018. You've been in the space for, since like 17, and we've seen cycles. So we know how this goes. And for the people who aren't looking at this every day and they see like, oh, cool, it was up there, now it's down here. Like, why would I get in now? It's like, because this is the moment. This might be the last moment that like you see it be this low, like, again. And it's not like we're like, I know I went the approach of like, I'm not saying put your life savings in this. I'm not even saying put, you know, $1,000, but like, you know, just so you can watch it, just so you can see like what's happening, like put in 10 bucks, put in 20, put in 100, and just see, and then go from there. But the problem is now is that like those same people are now coming now, and now they're like, what do I do? What do I look at? It looks like I missed Bitcoin. What else should I be looking for? And it's just like, look, just let's talk. Let's have some conversations. I'm glad you're excited, but you need to find safe ways to get this. And obviously, going full circle into why BitGet would be a great option to consider why you would do this: safe, secure, compliant, and trying to make it very easy for onboarding for the next wave of people that are looking for opportunities and to enter this market. Even for traders who have been around for a while and are looking for other places to be able to have access to different opportunities, BitGet should be one that you can consider. But I have one more thing I want to talk about before we kind of go into our next segment, which is, I think, really, really cool. You launched the Blockchain for Youth, and it shares BitGet's fundamental philosophy of driving Web3 adoption, inspiring individuals to embrace crypto and blockchain. Can you kind of just tell us a little bit more about that program and the impact it's having on the community?
Like, BitGet, our philosophy was that we believe in these market. We believe in this industry. We believe in this technology, and we are not here for a short-term gains. Therefore, like, we've been consistently investing, and we were the only company that didn't have massive layoffs or anything during the even bear market, because we have our North Star. We know where we are going, and we consistently build towards that. And while building towards that, we do our investments in three different directions, because we believe that we need more and more builders. Number one is our EmpowerX fund. We have $100 million that we purely invest in Web3 projects, and we help other founders to build and to develop. Then we have $10 million Blockchain for Youth Foundation, which helps more and more young talent to come to the industry. And we eventually hope that they will become the builders for the EmpowerX Foundation, but also we want more talent to transition from Web2 jobs to Web3, whether they're developers, social media managers, designers, whoever within that ecosystem. And recently we also launched our Blockchain for Her project, where we focus on developing more and more women talent to come to the industry, to develop and to build. And we are investing another $10 million to that project. Therefore, it is like a three key pillars is where we want more and more people to come, to develop, to earn, and not look into the blockchain and crypto as a trade or investment tool, but also a tool to work, to philosophy, to live with, and also the platform to build upon.
Yeah, that's awesome. It is good that you're looking towards the future and providing resources to, you know, keep making it both equitable and accessible so that more and more people can participate in this amazing new technological wave that I think is here to stay and is going to continue to evolve. But again, Bigit is incredible. You've been able to share a lot of awesome information. But now I'm excited to learn more about you. So now we're about to dive into our next segment, which is called Edge Quick Hitters.
NFTLA returns as an inclusive week of community events throughout LA, celebrating the outer edge of innovation.
Builders be building.
There's so much energy colliding around gaming, AI, generative art, the metaverse, decentralized social, and the future of entertainment.
If you want to be in the mix, including the official free NFTLA celebration, visit outeredge.live to subscribe for your updates and RSVP. Edge Quick Hitters are a fun and quick way to get to know you a little bit better. There are 10 questions and we're looking for just a short, single, or few word response, but feel free to expand if you get the urge. Are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
All right. What is the first thing you ever remember purchasing in your life?
Oh, most probably ice cream. Like, I love sweet things. I eat a lot of sweets. Probably it was ice cream.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Mine was candy, but I also have a sweet tooth. I love some cookies, so I completely understand that. What's the first thing you remember selling in your life?
Oh my God, this will take some time. Back at the school, we used to have these firecrackers for the New Year celebrations. And me and my brother, we were not the good kids at the school. And somehow we always had an excess money. We would buy them in a pack and then sell them in a single piece. And we would make a lot of money. But at some point, it went out of our hands. And my parents discovered how much money we had. We also didn't know what to do with the money. They thought that, you know, we are involved in something bad. And the things escalated. And eventually, they found our, like, in the bedroom, like, under the bed, there were, like, boxes and boxes of crackers and a lot of money. And they understood what's happening, but we had to go through a very long lecture about the importance of the safety, security, illegal trade, and so on.
Wow, that, you know, that is a one of one story. You are the first person, I think. Firecrackers. Wow, that is. Hey, but that's innovative, right? That is that young entrepreneurial mind saying, like, hey, what can we do? What do we have? And it's funny is that, like, you also didn't know what to do with the money. You're like, oh my gosh, we have all this money now. Now what? So you've been thinking about how do you save. How do you procure your money for a long time? Sounds like it's been there.
Yeah, also like as a kid, we didn't need much money, right? You'd walk to the school. It was next to our home. Like, we were not doing it for money. We were just playing a game. It's like a Super Mario. You collect coins that has no meaning. Like, that was really fun.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. What is the most recent thing that you've purchased?
Oh, I actually recently purchased some tokens, and it was another funny story because we were having a beautiful dinner in Dubai with my friends, and I had a flight to catch. I departed, and I eventually told them I sent some cash to your wallet, and I sent the wallet. Time passed. My friend called back. He's like, "Oh, you know, no ill meanings, but I was checking your wallet. I saw some coins in there. I think they're doing well. Do you recommend me buying?" I said, "I don't recommend you buying." But then eventually, I went to my portfolio and I was checking things, and I saw some things are doing, you know, much better than I expected, and I was exiting in that positions and making sure that I kind of put things on the Bitcoin. I think all my recent purchases was around Bitcoin, even though it is high off the market. But because I try to dollar cost average all the time, I keep buying.
Nice. Yeah, it's amazing how, sometimes certain coins are out of sight, out of mind. And then when things start picking up again, it's like, "Oh, let me go check on this." You're like, "Oh, wow, you're up again." So that actually kind of correlates. And I think you might've already answered it, but what is the most recent thing you've sold? And it sounds like it might've been some of those coins as well.
Yeah. When you do trade, you buy and sell in pairs. Yeah. But also I had a huge, a shoe collection, and I start, selling some pieces because I travel a lot and I don't have place to store them.
Okay. So shoe collection, just curious, what is your favorite shoe, brand?
Oh, I like Christian Louboutin. I like the red bottoms. I'm not much of a sneakerhead, but more of some fancy, good quality shoes would do.
Gotcha. Yeah, those are some very nice ones. What is your most prized possession?
Oh, I have a T-shirt and a World Cup ball signed by Lionel Messi himself.
That's a great one. Oh my gosh.
Definitely. Yeah. I brag with that a lot. But unfortunately, I just have one piece and it's in my office. But I have this imaginary wall at my home that if I ever got to see him again, I will definitely try to get one signed and framed at my home also.
Oh, absolutely. That's a gem, especially, man, that last World Cup. That's epic timing. If you could buy anything in the world, digital, physical, service, experience, that is currently for sale and money wasn't an issue, what would it be?
I have a thing for beautiful hotels, and I always wanted to own a hotel building. But I don't want to own a hotel. I want to own the building, rent it to the hotel, but still be the owner. And I was the other day, I was talking to this very innovative company and talking about the real world assets. Maybe this dream would come true anytime soon with a really fraction of the money. I don't have to put hundreds of millions that I really don't have, unfortunately. But yeah, I think that's one of these glamorous ideas, or having maybe an airline, because I fly a lot, having my own place could do. If money was not an issue, show me the cash. I know how to spend it.
No, that's awesome, man. Having your own hotel, a beautiful hotel. So where would you put it?
Dubai.
Is it one place? Is it like a brand that's kind of everywhere? Or is it you come to this one place and it's going to be epic?
I would definitely put it into Dubai and do something epic, because in Dubai, it's kind of a really money is not an issue, a sky's the limit place, some extravaganza, an extra wow place. Because I travel a lot, I always think even though when you travel for fun and leisure, it's nice. When you extensively travel for work, travel becomes a burden. And sometimes when I end up in these amazing hotels that are, really out of this world, I get wowed, and I really love that feeling that suddenly you are, transformed or transcended to a different dimension of the hospitality, which really feels good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, man. If you could pass on one of your personality traits to the next generation, what would it be?
I hope I don't pass on my procrastination.
That was actually my next question, so we can leave with that. So you're not gonna pass on procrastination, but which one would you pass on?
I believe that I am I believe in human connection, and I believe in like a transparent communication. And I really love when people are transparent, bluntly tell you what they feel and they think. And I think it kind of a fast track things and makes, like, it sets the boundaries and also establishes the expectations. And I believe both in personal and professional life, it's very important to have that clear communication and set that expectations to make sure that everyone kind of lives and works in harmony. And if there's something that we could pass on, I think definitely like being a better communicator is important.
I agree. I think that's a really great trait. Communication is essential in all facets of life, but even more so in the remote culture that we now live. I think you have to be even more authentic and direct, as it's very easy to put on personas and know that nobody's going to like necessarily be able to call you out in person. I like that. I think that communication is very important. So appreciate that answer. What did you do just before coming on the podcast?
Oh, I was planning a trip, a work trip, and talking to, you know, to my team on a very cool campaign that we are working on. And on one side of the screen, looking at the charts to see how the market is doing. Like several things at the same time. Also, it is the holy month for the people, believers, Muslim believers. And I believe, like, I was also observing how my family members are like cooking the dinner and everyone is getting too excited for that family time. And I think that's one thing I'm really excited also, like the spending time with the family and coming together and doing some charity and volunteering to helping the people who are really in need. And I think that's the things that sometimes, because as I mentioned, you know, like we work so hard, we try to chase so many dreams at the same time, we forget how to connect with the people we really love and care about.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely appreciate that. So Ramadan Kareem to everyone out there.
Thank you.
For everyone observing, good time for family and everything else. So definitely appreciate that. What are you going to do right after this podcast?
I'll go break my fast and eat some dates and nice warm tea, probably, because Turkish people, we are known for our never-ending tea ceremonies. And I think that's what happens at the evenings. Like, you just catch up with friends, you sit, have a tea.
Got it. Nice. So we always like to finish with a bonus question. And, you talked about how these amazing buildings can help transform and transcend like just these experiences. What has been like the building or like the experience that you're always just like, wow, this was probably the coolest place I visited?
I travel a lot, and I always say that like sometimes I come from these beautiful places and I tell to my friends how amazing it is, and they end up going there and they don't have the same experience. And by the time I realized that it doesn't much matter like where we go, it's also important who we are and what we really look for. And that's how we build experiences for us and for ourselves. And that philosophy that if you are not happy yourself, you can't make others happy. And I believe it kind of translates in every aspect of the life, whether you want to invest. I always say, like, don't invest when you are in a rush, when you are sad. Like, don't do that decisions, because probably it won't reflect well with the, you know, universe or energy or whatever we end up believing in. And the same thing goes a destination that we are traveling or place we go, or sometimes even like the same coffee shop you go 2-3 times and you have different experiences, both with the drink itself, people you talk to, and all the other aspects. Therefore, I always try to first kind of think what kind of mindset I am in. Am I positive myself? Am I giving everyone else that positive? Am I reflecting that positivity around me? And I think if we all could be, you know, in that mindset, the life would become easier, you know, to deal with, and also places would become much pleasant. Therefore, sometimes you'll go to a very random place and have the best day of your life. And sometimes you could go, I don't know, that's what people call the Paris syndrome, right? When people go to Paris and they get disappointed how dirty the city is, how it's not lovey-dovey, and why no one kneels down and presents you a ring.
Yeah, I think that is a really good point of like just going to different places and experiences is different from person to person, but it has a lot to do with where your mind is, where your energy is, and how you're feeling. So it's just a good reminder for everyone out there for the types of experiences or the types of things that you want to be sharing with others to make sure you have good energy around you. Make sure you have like some good positive vibes going with you on whatever that experience may be. So Vuga, appreciate answering all the questions, getting to know you a little bit more. And you know, as we kind of conclude our show, we always like to give a moment for shout outs. So this is a moment where for whether it's people directly that you're working with or people that are indirectly in your life or whomever that, you know, you want to be able to acknowledge, but they don't necessarily always get that moment. This is now your chance to be able to share that out. So who would you like to shout out today? A quick word from our sponsors, who's ready to navigate the cutting edge of tomorrow's legal landscape. Because at Zuber Lawler, they're not just attorneys, they're visionaries. With expertise in emerging technologies like AI, blockchain, and the metaverse, they're paving the way for you to seize the future. For mergers and acquisitions to IP, their selective team delivers strategic solutions tailored to the ever-changing world of technology. Join us at Zuber Lawler, where the future meets the law, at zuberlawler.com. Back to the episode.
I want to definitely shout out the entire BitGet team of 1,500 people from 65 nations who work all across the world. And I think we are, I always say like we are not a, even though I believe in a family values, but I don't want to look at our team as a strong family, but I look at our team as a, like a Olympic team. We are here or like a superstars coming and competing for a gold medal. And that was the reason that BitGet was able to do that big leap forward in our growth journey. And today we are hiring more than, we have more than 100 open positions, and we are hiring variety of team members from compliance to developers to marketing, communications. And I'm really happy to be, you know, seeing more and more people coming, joining the Web3 all in all, and of course the BitGet as a team. And to name several, definitely our managing director, Gracie Chen, a dear friend of mine. She works really hard, and I think she's one of the faces like you'll always see around in a conferences speaking, and I think she's doing a great job. And definitely also all the team members that out there who work tirelessly all over, not only like a public facing jobs, but also developers who develop that tools. And huge shout out to BitGet Wallet team, who will be recently launching their own token. And as many knows, BitGet's BGB token was the most well-performing CX tokens out there. And we also saw the all-time high very recently. And I hope that our wallet team could also replicate the success that we had with BGB token and offer more and more opportunities to people, both safeguard your asset and enjoy your savings, whether it is in on-chain in centralized exchange or in decentralized wallet, and they have the full custody.
Amazing shout outs. I mean, I know you've, your team's probably gonna be really pumped to hear that. It's Gracie as well and the wallet team. But also people out there listening like, oh, wow, you know, I really enjoy what I learned about BitGet today. Vuga sounds awesome. Would love to join the team. So where can people learn more about BitGet? Where can people learn more about potential job opportunities? And if someone wants to potentially connect with you, what is the best way to do that?
I think the easiest way is always to go to bitget.com and look for the career opportunities, or just chat to support. We have also 24/7 support. And definitely just find me on any social media platform. And I have a very easy handle, and it's the same everywhere. You can just drop me a message. I'll try to reply as soon as possible. And also, I'm hosting a similar show called BitGet Show on BitGet's official YouTube channel, where you could watch me talk to very interesting people and dive into different journeys within the crypto, whether they're developing something or trading. And I believe you could definitely reach out to me or any other BitGet team member, and they'll be really happy to help fast track all the applications and make sure that we go and to talk all the potential candidates with an opportunities, because I do believe that we need to be fast in this industry and make sure that we grow in a very sustainable way and bring in the brilliant talent out there. And I always believe that it's a talent's market. There's a huge competition for a great talent, and we are doing all in our power to make sure that we scout that talent, we bring on board everyone, And also BitGet is a very happy place to work, and it's very beautiful to be part of this like a very diverse, energetic team.
That is awesome. Well, we definitely appreciate that. Everyone listening, make sure you go check that out and then begin those next steps. But we have now reached the outer limit at the edge of NFT for today. Thanks for exploring with us. We've got space for more adventures on the Starship. So invite your friends and recruit some cool strangers so that we can make this journey all so much better. How? If you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now, rate us, or say something awesome. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and pass on this episode to a friend or two. Lastly, be sure to tune in next time for more great Web3 content. Thanks again for sharing this time with us today.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of NFT reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. Our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. From time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of those links. Refer to our website, www.edgeofnft.com, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, and privacy policy.